This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The legislature has passed a budget. Here to hit some of the main points are Kyle Malin, editor of MERS, a news agency that covers state government, and Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau chief for Michigan Radio. First, let me ask you guys, any more money for schools?
Yes, that's the short answer. I mean, there's a little bit more additional for schools. If you're looking at the state allocation that's given to local school districts, it's an additional $60 to $120 per student. It's the most per pupil funding that we've had in the state of Michigan. The floor will be $7,100, which is the highest floor that we've had.
We should point out it's sort of a political imperative in the budget-making process that they should always be able to say this is the most funding that's ever been devoted to schools, the most per-student funding.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, because as inflation goes up, as the cost of living and everything else goes up, so does the cost of education. And so they were able to make that claim this year, as they were with universities, community colleges, and just in general, the entire education package, which they all put into something I've referred to as the school bus. And so that was one of the big claims that was made out of this budget for Republicans, was that this is the biggest budget that we've ever had for education and the most money we spent on roads since Obama gave us all that stimulus money back in 2009. But I think what's most interesting about this budget is that it's a reflection of what we're seeing with the economy, this kind of like slow prodding, slow growth that we've experienced. I mean, it's nothing spectacular. It's nothing that you can go, wow, about. But it just is kind of a reflection of where we are as a state right now.
Yeah, really the most controversial part of the budget was putting money into the teacher pension system to sort of further the transition from a defined benefit system, traditional pensions, to defined contribution, 401k style. Those were really the big fireworks in the budget process.
All right, before we go on here, I need to clarify one thing. You said $60 or $120. Who gets the one amount and who gets the other?
Well, it's determined by this something they call this 2X formula, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but usually those kind of rural districts that got the 120 and kind of the suburbanite districts that got the 60.
And don't forget the $500 million for at-risk funding.
I saw that at-risk funding. That was interesting. I didn't know that was even being debated.
Well, and that was substantial, too, because they also broadened the pot of the people who are able to get some of that at-risk funding. So not only did they increase the amount that is for at-risk, they kind of widened that net out so more schools are able to take care or take advantage of that special pot of money.
Let me ask you about, you mentioned roads. We've got a little more money of roads, right? What happened there?
A little more for roads, yeah.
Okay. Department of Corrections budget was cut. How much and why?
That was cut a little bit. They're going to end up shutting down 5 units within the Department of Corrections. No prisons, but just units within certain prisons.
Which was a big fight between the Senate Republicans and the governor and the Department of Corrections. That the department isn't saying that a prison won't necessarily get shut down in the coming year, but that needs to be a decision that's made by the corrections professionals and not a decision that's forced on the department by the legislature.
Because what we're seeing is fewer prisoners, fewer inmates in state penitentiaries. And so the point is here is that we want to get people rehabilitated. We want to get them out and be productive members of the society as opposed to just sitting in a prison somewhere. So there have been conscious policy decisions that have been made throughout the years that have lowered the prison population. So we are now at a point where we are cutting back on prisons because there's just fewer of them in them.
Now, municipalities have been complaining for a long time that they're getting less revenue sharing. What's happened in the budget this year?
They got about a 2.5% bump. It's the first bump, I think, Kyle, in 3 years?
Yeah, I think
so. Years, yeah.
And Snyder originally wasn't going to give them anything because he said because of the personal property tax refunds, the way that system went, that these local units of government were getting more money as opposed to collecting that personal property tax on equipment for manufacturing, the replacement mechanism they created was actually giving them more money. So Snyder said, hey, you guys don't need any more money. But
they pushed back. And they got something. And this matters in part because you know, all of the entities that rely on revenue sharing, you know, that ancient deal where the state will collect the taxes, but then distribute them back to the local governments. And, you know, local governments, municipalities, counties have been crying foul on that for a while, saying the state's been shortchanging them. What they're hoping to set up is a debate probably that will take place this coming fall to revamp the system for revenue sharing, for how local governments get revenue from the state. And they consider this a good, promising first step.
Let me talk about something else that happened with the budget. The legislature took millions of dollars from the Unemployment Insurance Contingent Fund. The state of Michigan had this debacle where it was wrongly accusing people of taking unemployment when they weren't eligible, caused all kinds of havoc in people's lives, including some people who had to file bankruptcy because of this state foul-up.
Well, not only did they have to pay back the money, but there was also a 400% penalty.
So a lot of people were hurt. Taking money out of the unemployment insurance to shore up the state's bank account just looks wrong. What were they thinking?
Well, I think what they were looking at here is that we've got some programs that are trying to get people into skilled trades and to get them training to get back into the workforce. And so they saw this surplus in the fund as a way to invest money into those programs. And the legislature actually went above and beyond the governor's proposal of about $48 million. And I think they're up to 72, somewhere in that area. $72 million from this unemployment fund that you just mentioned has gone now into a couple of different programs designed to try and get people back into the workforce in some type of skilled trades program or profession. And, yeah, that was certainly a big talking point. When we asked the Republican leaders about that, they said, hey, look, if a court finds that we owe people a bunch of money, we'll pay people that bunch of money. And if it, whether it comes out of this fund, if there's not enough money in that fund, we'll find money somewhere.
Well, if these workers win the case and it's in the court of claims, then, you know, the $60 million that's the surplus could very well be just a fraction of what they're owed by the time you get through with paying them back plus punitive damages. And I think that's what the leadership was talking about, which is, you know, look, we're going to have to find it somewhere. So let's deal with today's problems today and tomorrow's problems tomorrow.
Rick Pluta is Michigan Radio Capital Bureau Chief, and Kyle Malin is editor of MERS. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
You bet.